So let us pray. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I wanted to share a couple of things. I guess the first thing I needed to say is, for those of you who are still on this side, apparently you didn't get the memo, that if you were sitting on this side, you got to leave today. You know, so pretty much everybody that was sitting over here got to move. So I'm sorry you didn't get the memo. It's like you're kind of stuck because you can't leave now. So, and maybe next week you guys will get the memo, and so you can leave. And then, how'd I do? Yeah, crash and burn, right? So I'm going to call on a few of you in a moment, even though you don't know I'm going to call on you. And I just want you to think, I want to prepare you a little bit. And there's many of you I could call on. In fact, the truth be known, every one of you. But I just want to call on a few of you in a moment. I just want you to be reflecting upon why it is that you have felt this direction in your life that you're involved in doing what you're doing. Why you have felt that unction or that call or however you would articulate why you're involved in doing what it is that you're doing. But before I do that, does anybody feel they have a word this morning?
Showing me that perhaps
pictures of beautiful things and holy things and things that encourage people about Jesus and encourage them in their faith and encourage them to conversion. And that's why I stay.
Very good. You know, I just think it'd be so cool to go on and just hear this story and the stuff that stirs in all of our hearts. And maybe it's good to do this periodically, and maybe all of you knew all of that stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's just to hear it again. I was thinking in context of this particular Sunday. This is the last Sunday in... ordinary time. Okay. So the next time I'll be donning this color will probably be in May. So that means that we've come through a season of ordinary time. And so next week starts Christ the King, and then Advent, and then Christmas, and then Epiphany, and then Lent, and then Easter, and then Pentecost, and then back into ordinary time. So it's like looking over the last year, you might say this is the second to the last Sunday, but it's the last Sunday in ordinary time. And so you look over the last 51 weeks of your year. And if you were to take a moment and reflect upon your past year, your last 51 weeks that went through ordinary time, and Pentecost, and Easter, and Lent, and Epiphany, and Christmas, and Advent, and Christ the King, to this last Sunday last year. And what's happened? Where's been the ebb and the flow? And remember when we when I mentioned about ordinary time this last, what was it, last April, last May, that we enter into ordinary time, and for the Christian, what does ordinary time look like? What does it look like for us when we enter into quote-unquote ordinary time? What is to be happening in our lives as Christians? What's ordinary about our life? And mentioning, too, about the rhythm of heaven, like the liturgical calendar, is different than the secular rhythm. And so we want to continue to pray to be in that rhythm of heaven and have earth report, not to be our report, but rather to have heaven's report, to be able to see things from heaven's perspective, not from earth's perspective. And so then we look at our own lives and we look at the tasks and the situations and the persons and the responsibilities and the ins and the outs and the things that happen, and we see how it is that we navigate through that. Where we're at the transfiguration, where we're in the wilderness. Do we come out of the wilderness leaning on our beloved? Have we developed dove's eyes? Where are we in all of that? Where it is that we have navigated over this past year. As we're about ready to enter into an opportunity of a new start. And maybe we don't so much look at it that way, but that's what it is. It's an opportunity for a new start. It's like a new beginning. As we prepare to celebrate Christ the King, as we're supposed to leave ordinary stuff aside. But that ordinary stuff for the Christian is supposed to look extraordinary to the world, right? I was thinking of conversions. And I don't know. See, I could be presumptuous on my part were I to say that knowing that every single one of you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and I could say that I believe that I know all of you. I don't know that for a fact, but that would be my presumption, and my presumption, I hope, would not be wrong, but that every single person that's sitting right here who can hear me has accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. And maybe you can't recall the exact moment in which that happened, but you would look and say, yes, I know that I'm walking with the Lord. But then to also say, would you be able to say, have there been other conversions in your life? Have you ever felt in your life that you there was a period in your life that maybe you wandered off a bit? As they would say, I wandered off the reservation. I wandered off a bit. And then somehow in the Lord's mercy, I got drawn back. I got drawn back to moving back into that arena, that purposefulness into which He has put that call on my life. I remember when I was about 6 years old, walking out the door and thinking, God really loves me. And it was such a comforting memory at 6 years old, thinking, God really, really loves me. And somewhere along the line, I don't know what happened, but I guess I just got involved in life, and I was, in my teenage years, a product of the 60s, and it's like you get caught up in all of that. And then I remember going to one of these comparable to a Billy Graham crusade, and the evangelist was saying that anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to come forward. And I think I shared that with you, and I'm sitting next to my dad, and all of a sudden I had this unction to go. And so I look at my dad and I go, do you want to go up there? And he goes, no, I don't want to go up there. And I just knew that I had to go. And I remember going up and standing there, and he said this prayer, and there was this sense of deep peace that came upon me. And all of a sudden it was like, I knew something had happened. I don't know that I would have been able to articulate, but I knew something happened. St. Teresa of Avila, one of the individuals that I mentioned a lot, talked about three conversions that she went through in her life. When she was 7 years old, and then when she entered the convent, and then when her dad died. And she said when her dad died, that's when it's like her following Christ, it stuck. And she never wandered off the reservation again. It stuck with her. So when we look at our lives and we look at the ebb and flow of how it is that we navigate through things and how it is that we process things and we hear other people's story, you know, and we think a bit about that parable of Jesus talking about the sower and the seed, and, you know, some seed falls among thorns and life just kind of started to choke it off a bit. I think sometimes for us as Christians, we can almost feel choked off a little bit just because of situations, circumstances, and the number of times that I have suggested that we have to be so vigilant about not taking up an offense in regards to God's ways. Sometimes are so comforting to us, and other times are such a mystery to us. And in the midst of that, not to take up an offense because we don't understand what's happening in our life, or not to put him on trial because we don't understand how he's seemingly to work in somebody else's life. So I could target probably anybody's testimony, but thinking of what, you know, even Carmel said about, it seems as though when you look at the landscape of people's lives, that there are seasons when there seems to be a bit of change of the normal, and there has to be a new normal because it's almost like some kind of disability has entered in, or some kind of change in the family dynamic. Maybe that's because of loss or accident or moving or career or whatever. And it's how do I continue to flow with that and to stay in that rhythm of what it is that the Lord's doing and to remain ever faithful. So when I think of this particular parable that we hear, the last Sunday of ordinary time, that to a certain extent you look at and you say, I take that and remember what I said last Sunday about the parables. In the parables, Jesus is always changing something about the culture in regards to the parable that he's giving. But the reader or the listener is, by intentionality, needing to complete the story and then hold it up as a mirror and see themselves and say, where am I in this? Which one am I? Now, I might from time to time like to take that mirror and put it in front of somebody else and go, I know who you are. But to turn it and say, where am I? So let me read this passage from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Should be very, very familiar to you. Because in this particular chapter is where the chapter of the prodigal son shows up. Okay? So you know where I'm at. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So what if we could take this particular passage of Scripture, the last Sunday of ordinary time, and use that passage to look over the past year and to say, Lord, is there any place in my heart, as you search my heart, that you would desire for me to repent? Is there anything as I look past in this last year that I need to repent of? Remember, I told you what St. Ignatius of Loyola would do when he would teach his students who were in the process of attaining the ability to learn how to study, what it was that they were to do at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they were to reflect upon the day. And they were to look at it from, from a variety of vantage points, they were to look at the day and to say, Lord, I'm so grateful for this day. Where was I aware of your presence throughout my day? When I look back over my day, my particular day, the day that I had this day that you made, that I could rejoice and be glad in and walk in union with you, where was I aware of your presence with me today? And then secondly, look at it and to say, Lord, did I miss anything today? Did I miss anything today in which you were nudging me, you were prompting me? Maybe you're wanting to bless me. Maybe you're wanting to again remind me of how it was that you loved me, or you wanted to use me to love someone else. You wanted to use me in an instrument. Did I miss it today? Was there any moment that I might have missed today? And then thirdly, oh Lord, with that which will come to me tomorrow, may I embrace it with such anticipation of being so attuned to your promptings. And the whole idea was, as they did that, the 15 minutes at the end of the day, just before they would go to sleep, they would be able to get this rhythm going in their life that would start to function on a regular basis. And so their whole day was like that. Just saying, Lord, I'm so grateful. Can I be aware of where you're at? Oh, Lord, did I miss that one? Did I miss that one? And to be able to say, sorry, Lord. And what happens in heaven? Rejoices. Heaven absolutely rejoices. The angels sing because the Lord can set us free by being able to say, dang, I missed it. And his joy, the Lord dances over us with singing. He rejoices over us, Zephaniah 3:17. He's pleased with us. He dusts us off. And he says, that's okay. You still get to play. Get out there and do it again. Keep going. Just do it again. Just do it again. More joy in heaven over one who says, sorry, than over 99 who says, I don't have any need to do that. I want to justify my behavior. See? It becomes such this wonderful union and journey that the Lord just draws us into. His intent is never to condemn or to shame or to accuse, but to invite. To invite and to invite and to invite, so that we begin to realize that he's for us and he's for us. And remember when I've said those four pillars that build a foundation, and I've only really been focusing on the two. I haven't even really addressed the other two. That God is good all the time, God is good. And what is my identity in Christ? And the more that continues to be secure, that I'm navigating through all of this that goes on. And so when we look at the parable of today and we hear the one with the five talents and the two talents and the one talent, and at the end of that we say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we hold that mirror up and go, where am I in this? Where am I? And maybe instead of walking away with it with fear and dread, which does not mean that we play with grace. We never play with grace. It's never to be presumptuous. But it is to be able to look at that and say, God, you love it when you give your giftings to us, and in our faithfulness, fruitfulness grows. Remember when I'm focused so much on Psalm 1 about the fathers of the church said that blessed is the man, the definite article, and the fact that the word man was not anthropos or Adam, but it was emphatically masculine and gender specific. It wasn't just blessed is the human person. It was blessed is the man. And it's like, who is this? Remember the suffering servant songs in Isaiah, the one who takes upon our sins. Who is this? Who are they talking about? And they look at it and say, it's Jesus. And it says that Jesus, he always walked and he always stood and he always sat where it was that the Father was calling to, because he was forever in communion with the Father. Because he delighted and he meditated, and he was like this tree planted near running water. And whatever he did prospered, and fruitfulness came from it. Then we go to John 15, and Jesus says, do you realize apart from me you can do nothing? And if you abide in me, then you will produce fruit. See, abiding in him is what, abiding in him is that faithfulness that allows fruitfulness to grow. Abiding in him is where we realize, good heavens, I'm planted right by this rivers of water. And as I'm delighting and meditating in him, fruitfulness grows. And because I'm in Christ, everything prospers. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing how he's able to have taken me on a journey. Hasn't it been wonderful when at times you will listen to people who have been married maybe 40, 50, 60 years? And as I say that, I know that that's not everybody's experience, and I know there can be some painfulness, so I'm talking objectively, okay? Talking objectively. When someone can look at that and go, man, look at what we've been through. Just look at what we've been through. We're still here. And Jesus is there all along and say, yeah, and I've been with you every step of the way, and you abide in me, and rest in me, you're going to learn to flow in me. So what about the individual who comes to the Lord and says, I knew you were a hard man, so I was afraid. And what the author of the parable says is, that's the excuse that you're giving, but that's not the reason you buried it. This is where it stings a bit, right? For all of us. The reason you buried it is you got lazy. You just simply checked out. You just checked out. And guess what? If you go, dang, I checked out. Would you please forgive me? Would you just forgive me and just restore me? That's good news, right? See, Jesus didn't give that parable for people to walk away and start beating themselves up. He told that parable that says, everybody is gifted. Don't check out. Stay the course. Remember that line from Patriot? Stay the course. It's not on your strength. It's in his strength. And you go to Ezekiel 44, and we're all in the priestly, prophetic, kingly ministry of Christ. And what it says in there is the priests, and that's all of you, whether you realize it or not, are all supposed to be, you might say metaphorically, wearing linen. Because the work that you do, you're never supposed to sweat. Because you rest in Christ. The work that you do is resting and abiding. It's not about sweating. It's about getting in that flow. And when this comes, I'm sorry. And joy erupts. Amen? Amen? So you got that creed? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one